2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. We're going to read the last few verses of the chapter. We'll pray, and then we'll go and get started. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. We'll start in verse number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 12. It says, "For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God." So just to set the stage, you know, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 are about giving. And what Paul was doing was there was a famine back in Jerusalem, and Paul was going to the Corinthian church and saying, "Hey, can you help us out? We need some help." And we know this is a church that gave till it hurt. And so here he's just kind of finishing up this section on giving, where it says, "For the administration of this service, this gift, not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you." Verse number 15 is where we're going to focus. It says, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Lord, thank you for all that you've given to us, Lord. And as we enter this Christmas season, Lord, we thank you for your Son, your unspeakable gift, and what He means to us in here tonight. Lord, as we preach about this gift and Jesus Christ and we lift Him up, Lord, we pray that you hide me behind the cross so that you can get all the glory, honor, and praise. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit has free course through the service tonight. And Lord, we pray that this word lands on a heart that needs it. Lord, we love you. We praise all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, my favorite part of Christmas, you know, because we are in the Christmas season, my favorite part of the Christmas, yes, I love gifts. I love gifts so much that when I was in fifth grade, I wrote a 10-page Christmas list. Not going to lie. You guys are thinking, what? Yes, I wasn't saved then, you know, very worldly of me. But a 10-page Christmas list. You know, and so I love Christmas. My favorite part of Christmas now is watching our kids wake up Christmas morning, you know, making them wait and eat breakfast before they can open their gifts. That's the rule in our house, is you have to eat breakfast first, because once we know you get past, once, everybody knows once you get to presents, nothing else is happening. Either before or after. So we you know, but watching their faces, you know, opening these gifts and just seeing the joy that they have, you know, that is my favorite part of Christmas. You know, and as we entered this Christmas season, I was thinking about, you know, when Pastor asked me to preach, I was thinking about what I could preach, and I was thinking about this idea of gifts. You know, the Bible talks a lot about gifts. You know, in Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about salvation as being the gift of God. You know, in Romans, it gets even better. In Romans chapter 5, verse 15, it talks about it being the free gift. You know, that salvation is a gift that comes from God to us. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we read here, grace is a gift from God so that we can then give to other people. You know, it's always interesting that God blesses us, amen? God blesses us, and what He wants us to do with those blessings is give to other people. And then when we do that, you know what God does? He blesses us more, and then we just give Him more. You know, Amy's uncle tried to do that. Amy's uncle tried to outgive God. And you know who won? God won. God always wins, right? But He tried it. He tried it, right? And so that's another gift. You know, in Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, we're all familiar with these, you know, pastors preached on it, spiritual gifts, you know, that God gives to us, again, to help other people out. But it's all about gifts, right? And giving and receiving these gifts. But if we were to take a look at these three, you know, the salvation, you know, the grace that is given to us to give to others in our service, you know, there's a common theme that we see through all those three gifts. And that's His unspeakable gift, Jesus Christ. You know, and so what we're going to do tonight, you know, we're going to talk about what makes a really good gift. So if you haven't shopped for your Christmas presents yet, this is a perfect sermon for you guys to listen to. I've already shopped. I'm done. But, you know, to kind of get an idea. But we're also going to see how Jesus fits into this perfect gift. I understand, you know, that it's a little bit cliche, right? That we're constantly hearing, you know, well, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season. And He is. You know, you can ask Amy, there's nothing I love more than a good cliche. That's a joke, right? Because what ends up happening is we just say these things over and over and over again until they lose their power, right? Jesus Christ is the reason, right? We celebrate Christmas because of Jesus' birth, but who is Jesus, right? How does that affect me? You know, that Jesus is the reason for the season, right? It should affect us, and so that's what we're gonna look at, is Jesus Christ as the perfect gift. Let's go to Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. Just to warn you, you know, we should get our turning finger. I know it's a little cold, so we should warm up our hands a little bit because we're going to be turning to a few places tonight. But what does a good gift do? The first thing I think that a good gift does is it comforts the receiver. That it gives comfort to the person who gets the gift. You know, a comforting gift helps to strengthen the mind when down, invigorate, right? Cheer up, enliven. You know, my dad is, I've talked about my dad a while here, you know, recently, because he lives in an assisted living facility. And I talked to him a couple weeks ago, and he just seemed so down, right? Because he can't leave his room. He can't really do anything that he used to do. And he used to do a lot. But he can't do it now and for a variety of different reasons. And so he's stuck in his room. And he sounded really down. Well, apparently they have this technology called a portal, which through Facebook you can make a video call to your friends and family through Facebook. My brother and sister-in-law got him that. And the first time he called us and could see us face to face, that brought comfort. That livened up his spirit. You know, Jesus Christ came to bring us comfort. God gave Jesus Christ to comfort us. In Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 14, you can really start back to the beginning of Hebrews chapter number 2 to see this thought. But in verse number 14, it says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things that behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted." There's that word that Pastor, I believe, preached on Sunday, right? That succor, right? He is able to come to somebody to give them comfort. He is able to help them out. One of the reasons why Jesus Christ became flesh and blood was to comfort us, was to be tempted as we are, yet without sin. That's what it says in verse number 18. "For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted." You know, Jesus Christ is this perfect gift in that He brings us comfort. He understands what it's like to be tempted. He understands what it's like to go through a trial and to suffer. He understands what it's like to experience loss. God gave him to us to comfort us. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. A very common passage, you know, about comfort. Verse number 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Right? There's a lot of comforts in that passage. You know, God the Father comforts us. You know how God the Father comforts us? One way He comforts us is He sent the perfect gift of Jesus Christ to be tempted and tried like as we, so that He can help us, that He can comfort us. You know, in John 14, verse 18, it says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. You know, Jesus Christ comes to us in our time of need to comfort us, and that's a pretty good gift. You know, that's a pretty good gift. I would say that whenever I am troubled, I can go to Jesus Christ to be comforted. Not only that, the comfort just continues in that later on in that chapter 14, he says, but the Comforter will come. Talking about the Holy Ghost. You know, so Jesus Christ sends the Holy Ghost to us to comfort us. Not only through that, in 2 Corinthians 7, Paul says, hey, Timothy came to me to comfort me in my afflictions. Jesus Christ sends others to us to comfort us. You know, there's some stuff going on with regards to presents being exchanged in this church, and Amy and I love it, right? Just seeing people bless other people. You know what that is? That's a comfort to other people. You know, I told Amy one time, I was like, yeah, I feel like Santa Claus in my office, right? That, you know, here comes one person setting up gifts, and then another person takes those and puts more out, and then I'm like, hey, you know, I just want to open them to see what they are. I like gifts. It was tough, right? But you know what that is? That's comfort. That's God sending somebody else into our lives to give us comfort. And then lastly, the way He sends us comfort and the things that He's given to us is through His Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 says, comfort one another with these words. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know, Jesus Christ is the perfect gift because He comforts us. He gives us that comfort that we need. Whenever I think of a comfortable or a comforting gift, I always think of, you know, one of those big fleece blankets that on a cold, just really wintry day that you can just wrap up in, you know, and you just feel good, right? I just don't think of, you know, not right now, but when you get home, you can do it, right? You can just comfort in and just be, this feels good. That's what Jesus Christ does for us. When we're hurting, He wraps His arms around us and He says, hey, I love you. I love you. You know, so that's the first thing. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Since we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, let's flip over a few chapters. You know, so one thing I think that the best gifts are comforting, right? They're comforting. You know what another thing about a good gift is? It's undeserved. It's undeserved, right? A gift in and of itself, by definition, is undeserved. If you could work for a gift, then it would become a reward. It'd be slightly different, right? So it's undeserved. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 9. Verse number 9, it says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. You know, we know in Philippians chapter 2, right, it talks about He thought of Himself of no reputation, right? He made of Himself no reputation, and he came to become a man, right, to be beaten by the people He came to. But But what is this? This is an undeserved gift. A gift that is undeserved does something to the receiver. Have you ever just been walking around and, you know, somebody just comes up to you and hands you a gift? If you're like me, you're very awkward about it, and I don't want that. I don't need that, right? But really what it does is it humbles you. Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 2. You know, an undeserved gift does something to the person who gets the gift. Ephesians chapter number 2, the first few verses, we read the way that we were. The way that we were. And we'll see point number 2 and really point number 3 are very close together. But what we see here is in Ephesians chapter number 2, it says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." You know, that's who you were. You weren't very pleasing to God. Right? You weren't very, as an unsaved person, you are not of the family of God. You are not high on His list, we could say. But you know what He did? He made us high on His list when He gave us the undeserved gift of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, even though that we were not treating God the right way, one of our favorite verses is Romans chapter number 5, verse number 8. It says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners," right? While we were yet sinners. If you want to look at it, the Old Testament version of the word sinners is worse than what we call sinners right now. These were the murderers, the adulterers, right? The really bad of the bad. And while we were in that category, Christ died for us. Christ became that undeserved gift. You know, the world tries to lessen it today, right? The world tries to lessen this idea of undeserved gifts, right? Well, I mean, the world says, you know, you're either naughty or nice, right? Well, are you on the nice list? Are you on the naughty list? Well, if you're unsaved, we're all on the naughty list, if we're going to use that terminology. You know, in Romans, it talks about there's none righteous. There's none that doeth good. Right? There's none that seek after God. That's where we were. And that gift was still given. You know, that gift was still given. You know, today, and today we try to lessen that undeserving aspect of this gift by thinking that we did deserve it. That we did something that warranted Jesus Christ being given to us. You know what we did to warrant that gift being given? Absolutely nothing. We did absolutely nothing. And yet God still gave it to us. Right? We did nothing. You know, I heard a story, and I'm probably going to mess it up because I didn't put it in my notes. But, you know, there's a little kid, and he got this boat, and he built this boat, and he made this boat. And he loved this boat. I mean, it was blue, and it had nice big sails, and he loved this boat. And, you know, he sailed that boat like any boy would, right? If you got a boat, you're going to sail it. And so he put it in the lake, and it was a little bit of a stormy weather, and he puts it in the lake, and he loses the boat. Uh-oh. He loses the boat. Well, you know, his parents knew that he loved this boat so much that they walked by the toy store, the local toy store, and you know what they saw in the window? It was a nice boat. It was a really nice boat. Now, you know, as parents, you know, you see your kid lose something, you want to say, well, if I give it to them again, he's just going to lose it again. He's just going to, you know, put it away and do the same thing. But they didn't. They bought the boat for the kid. Did that kid deserve that gift of the boat? No, because he lost it, right? He lost it. It wasn't his anymore. But his parents bought it back. You know, as an unsaved person, we don't deserve that gift. We don't. We don't deserve that gift. But you know what? He bought it for us. He gave it to us. He says, here, I know, you know what? He's looking at me as I get saved. He's like, you know what? I know that you're going to sin. I know you're going to fall. But I'm still going to give it to you anyway. You know, so a great gift gives us comfort. You know, a great gift is undeserved. Let's go to 1 John chapter number 4. And the reason why a great gift is undeserved is because it shows the love of the giver. It shows the heart of who's giving the gift. You know, a gift is the manifestation of the love. The best gifts that you think about some of the best gifts that you've been given, and think about who gave them to you and the intent behind them. And you're going to find a lot of love. You know, there's one thing kids love, and that's Dairy Queen. I love Dairy Queen, so then of course naturally it just passes down to my kids, right? But you know, if you've ever gotten a kid's Happy Meal or whatever they call them at Dairy Queen, right, that they come with that little coupon, right, on the back of it, that you get a free frozen treat after you eat your food. Well, you know, we always would eat our food and then we would let the kids keep the coupon for, you know, the next day or a later day. Well, it's getting close to Mother's Day, right? And Lily's thinking, I don't have anything to give Mommy. But you know what I do have? Something that's really, really important to me. I have a Dairy Queen frozen treat coupon. She'd love that, right? That means a lot to her. But you know what she did? She wrote, you know, Amy a note, put it in a little bag with that coupon, and gave it to her. You know, it's not a huge gift, right? We could have easily gone down and bought a Dilly Bar, you know, if Amy really wanted one. But it meant a lot to her, right? It cost her a lot, because now she can't get one with that coupon. You know, in 1 John chapter number 4, verse number 10, it says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." You know, God loved us so much, as we said before, when we were unlovable, but sent something that meant so much to Him. That meant so much to Him to come down for us. You know, we know God showed His love by giving us that gift of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 5. You know, we're familiar with John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave." You know, that's true love. It doesn't have to be anything big. It just has to come from a heart of love. You know, when Amy and I, when we first started dating, some of you have already experienced my knack of just knowing the minutest details, of picking up just some little things here and there and then turning it into a gift. You know, I'll tell, you know, Pastor loves orange slices. I gave him orange slices. He made one comment, "Man, I love these." So I gave him a bag of orange slices, right? Those are the little things, right? You know, Amy, at one time when we first started dating, she goes, "Man, I really like baseball. You know, I like baseball." So in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, sweet. There's a AAA baseball team just about an hour down the road from where we lived in Indiana. I said, I'm going to take her there for a date. One comment. I come to find out she doesn't like baseball that much. She doesn't. But you know what? I did. But it meant a lot to me to take her there. Right? And so it's not necessarily the gift and what we did. It was the intent behind the gift. You know, if you have kids, you understand this. It's not necessarily the gift, but it's the intent behind the gift. I have drawers full, no lie, of pictures my girls have colored me. It's not necessarily the picture itself, but it's that they love me enough to want to give me something. You know, God loves us enough that He gave us something. You know, that He gave us something. You know, in Matthew chapter number 5, I was thinking about this idea, you know, about us giving, you know, and this gift giving. You know what Jesus did? You know what God did? God didn't just talk the talk. He walked the walk. In Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 43, it says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." You know, it's really easy to give a gift to somebody you love. You know who it's really hard to give a gift to? Somebody you don't. You know what Jesus did? You know what God did? God says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet alienated from Him and His family, He still sent that gift. It was unmerited. We couldn't earn it. It was unearnable. But it also showed His love. It also showed His love. You know, we're going to skip over the next couple points just because for the sake of time. You know what a good gift does? It's the gift that keeps on giving. Right? How many people have heard that before, right? It's the gift that keeps on giving. You know who keeps on giving? Jesus Christ. We talked about this, right? He just keeps giving us stuff no matter what. He gives us grace to get through it. And so He does all of this. He just keeps giving us for us to give out. The next thing that a good gift is it's very practical. I really like practical gifts. I like giving practical gifts. You know, this love or gift should be useful for our daily lives. And isn't that the truth about this gift of Jesus Christ? That He walks with us. Right? And He gave us His Word to change our lives. Let's go to Romans chapter number 9. Romans chapter number 9, and we'll see another thing. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 35. Romans chapter number 8. Verse number 35. You know, there's one thing that we know that we're going to see December 26th, Saturday. Stores will still be open. And that's going to be long lines at the return counter. I don't know if you've ever had to go to the store the day after Christmas. I have one time, not to return anything, but to pick up something from the store. And when you look at the customer service desk, that line goes all the way. It's almost as long as the line to get into the store for Black Friday, right? So they buy the gifts on Black Friday, and then they just quickly turn around the day after Christmas and then to return them. You know what is really good about a perfect gift? Is it doesn't need to be returned. It doesn't need to be returned. Or it can't be returned, right? I mean, you know, a perfect gift, you know, I like homemade gifts when I give to Amy. For two reasons. One, because it's obviously sentimental, but for two, because it can't be returned. You know what, Amy? I'm going to give you this gift and you're going to keep it. No. Partially true, but not really. But it can't be returned. You know, we were just given about a year and a half ago, our dog died. You know, we had this dog for 13 years. Well, my sister-in-law is a wonderful artist. I mean, she can just draw anything that you would want. And she drew us a picture of our dog for a Christmas gift. We don't want to return that gift, right? There's no way we're going to return that gift because it means something to us. You know, in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 35, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are all killed all the day long. We are accounted unto sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We talked about God the Father loved us enough to give us a gift. And you know, when we take that gift in, nothing can separate us from that gift. It can't be returned. You know, somebody says the best way to not become a Christian is don't become one in the beginning. Right? I've never heard somebody say, regret becoming saved. I haven't. You know, we usually seems every year people become more dissatisfied or unsatisfied with the things that they get. But you know what happens with this gift? The longer that you are with Him, the more satisfied that you get. There's a hymn that I really like. I'm not gonna look it up, but it's called Satisfied. And the purpose is I've thirsted and I've hungered and I've just looked for these things, and then I find the one who quenches my thirst, who fills my hunger, and I'm satisfied. And I'm constantly being satisfied. You know, this is a gift that will last for eternity. Let's go to Joshua chapter number 22. Joshua chapter number 22. You know, like many things that we're given, things tend to break down. Things tend to stop working. No matter how well they're made, you know, it's just a fact of life. You know what's not going to break down? You know it's not going to fail, no matter how long we have Him? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ isn't going to fail. Jesus Christ isn't going to break down. He is faithful to us. This is the gift that, you know, this is the gift that will never run out. The Energizer Bunny will run out. Jesus Christ won't. In Psalm 73, it says, our flesh and heart will fail, but God is our strength, right? Meaning He won't fail. In Joshua chapter number 22, verse number 45, there's not. Joshua chapter number 21, verse number 45. I don't know if you guys have this problem, but you know, in your Bible you have headings on the top, and if you're ever writing a sermon, be sure you look at the chapter before where you're putting your sermon in, and don't just go to the top header because then you get the wrong chapter. Chapter number 21, verse number 45. Says, there failed not, verse number 44 says, and the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that He sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. You know, here's a gift that will never fail. Here's a gift that when God says something, all came to pass. You can put it on the board. You can write it down. It's gonna happen. So when God says nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, that means nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. You know, we're talking about gifts. We're talking about Christ being the perfect gift, right? He brings us comfort. He brings us comfort. He was undeserved. I mean, think about it. He left the throne to come down here. He didn't have to, but He did. You know, he showed the love of God the Father, and He can't be returned. And so I just want us to think about this for the last few minutes. As Christians, whose name have we adopted? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the perfect gift to us. As Christians, are we the perfect gift to others? Do other people want to unwrap what we have? You know, are you comforting others? Right? We said the perfect gift, Jesus Christ, comforts us. We should be comforting others. Are you loving them enough to give them something they don't deserve? We talked a little bit about unforgiveness a while ago. Can you easily be returned? You know, it used to be when we said something that our word was our bond. Now, today, in today's society, it seems like people just say things just to say them. So I just want us to think about this, right? Because we have been given such a great gift. What are we doing with it? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. You know, I just want us to think about this for just a minute, just, you know, about how Jesus was such a great gift to us. Right? That he comes down from heaven to die for us. You know, obviously I understand I'm talking to a Wednesday night crowd, but if you have, one thing about a gift is if I were to take a gift and I were to give it to somebody and I would set it up here, like let's say I give Brother Gary a gift and I said, Brother Gary, here's your gift. And it just sits up here on the podium and he never gets it. You know how good that gift was for Brother Gary? He would never know because it just sat. He never accepted it. You know, Jesus Christ, we said, is the perfect gift. And one of the things we said was the gift of salvation. But that's a gift we have to accept. We have to say, Lord, thank you for sending your Son to die for me. And Lord, I trust in him to get me to heaven. But if you're saved here tonight, I want us to think about what kind of gift are we being to others? Are we comforting others? Are we showing our love by the things that we do and the things that we say? Or can we just easily be returned? Lord, thank you for tonight. Lord, thank you for all that you've given to us. Lord, we love you. Lord, we pray that whatever was said and done here tonight just give you glory, honor, and praise. And Lord, we pray that if, you know, as we enter this time of prayer, Lord, we pray that we can just kind of think about our life with you. Lord, we love you. And we thank you for sending your Son to die for us and to be that perfect gift. Lord, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The altar's open. If you need it, you can pray at your seat.